darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite,
delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Greetings and salutations, folks. Matt Barber with you again today. We'll be with you tomorrow, sitting in for Abe Hamilton. You are, of course, listening to the Hamilton Corner. Hope you're having a wonderful Thursday afternoon out there on the highways and byways, and whether you're listening in the office or at home or elsewhere, I pray you are doing well. As I have mentioned before, I am co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. And we have a couple slogans. We say that we are fighting for true civil rights and that it's time to go on the offense. Christian Civil Rights Watch is whereas some of the Christian religious liberties legal organizations all do wonderful, wonderful and important work, whereas I would say they are kind of more akin to a defense attorney, we view ourselves more as prosecutors. So we are going on the offense. The battle lines are clearly drawn here in the United States. Barack Obama, of course, once famously said that the culture wars are so 90s. Well, Barack Obama and his like-minded cultural Marxist leftists have been very intentional about ramping up the culture wars, and they are heated up at levels unprecedented in the United States. And restoring Christian civil rights is the civil rights struggle of our time, with these cultural Marxists, with radical Islamo-fascists, with church-state separatists and so-called progressive, with nothing progressive about leftism, but these regressive progressives and anti-Christian religious segregationists. They engage in, you just heard there on the, through the news, but the Freedom From Religion Foundation, radical anti-Christian bigoted organization. They want to reinvent an America in their own secular humanist self-image and effectively push Christians to the margins. And of course, their partners in crime, the organized LGBT sexual anarchist lobby, they all openly attack our guaranteed enumerated Christian civil rights. And we ask the question, who watches them? And at Christian Civil Rights Watch, we are watching them, holding them accountable, holding the fake news media accountable for, you know, every time they use their hateful propaganda. Groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who smear mainstream Christian organizations like the American Family Association, like our organization, like Liberty Council, like the Family Research Council and others, they smear them with this hate group label. We are holding media accountable for when they spread their propaganda. I encourage you to visit our site, our website, truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. Want to pick up our conversation where we left off yesterday. The topic mainly being that Islam, and not radical Islam, Orthodox Islam, which is Islam that adheres to the tenets of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, Islam is at war with us, and we don't realize that we're at war with it. Unfortunately, we have a delusional, suicidal West that is steeped in political correctness. And as I have often said and will say again, political correctness is a barrier to truth and a pathway to tyranny. And we see that tyranny taking root in preparation for doing my show prep for the subject today. I was reminded of, and I went back and was researching that horrific attack that occurred in Nice, France, where 84 plus innocent souls were mowed down by a Muslim with a truck. You may recall, it's been a few years ago, and Barack Obama, during that and in the aftermath and in the wake of this attack by an Orthodox Muslim, he said this. He said, "Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance." One of the most baffling and bizarre things that Barack Hussein Obama has said, and he has said many bizarre upside down things, and that is certainly upside down. Islam has a proud tradition of beating women and murdering homosexuals and murdering innocent people and anyone who they view as an infidel. And I say, isn't it time that we again, as Western civilization, that we crusade for self-defense so this political correctness run amok is, it's not just a barrier to truth, a pathway to tyranny. It's also deadly. And I was going back over looking at some of the photos, the feeds, the social media feeds and so forth on this attack in Nice, the horrific blood-bathed images of these innocent souls slaughtered in the streets there in France by yet another Muslim named Mohammed. And that was his name. I forget the guy's full name. But I was reminded of a quote by the great Winston Churchill. He said, "An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last." And that's what we have engaged as Western civilization, Europe, and even now progressives in the United States. We are, you know, feeding the crocodile, hoping that it will eat us last. And you cannot negotiate with terrorists and appease those who will not be appeased because they are operating under bloodlust. And of course, I don't mean every single person that identifies as Muslim. There are those who claim to be moderate Muslims. And we talked about the myth of the moderate Muslim yesterday. The moderate Muslim, you know, much like Paul, when he was Saul, would hold the coats of those who would stone to death the Christians. The moderate Muslim, you know, holds the coat of the radical Muslim, while the radical Muslim carries out the dictates of the Quran. And I was also reminded, I came across a quote that by Hillary Clinton at that very time during this attack. And they say these things over and over again. And I mention Obama, I mention Hillary, because they are indicative. They are representative of the progressive left's politically correct viewpoint here. Clinton at the time, she said, "Let's be clear. Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism." That's a quote. And so at best, that woman, and thank God, and I mean thank God, she was not elected as president of the United States. That woman is an appeaser. She is, apart from Barack Obama, she and others like her, Nancy Pelosi, and all of those on the left, they have proven to be the chief chumming chumps of the crocodiles of the caliphate. They're feeding them meat, red meat, hoping that they will be eaten last. And that this level of willful self-delusion on the left, it requires a suspension of disbelief, which is stimulated by strong medicine. And that strong medicine, it's poison, it's toxic, is multiculturalism. And that's the global so-called progressive left's pet project. And apart from cultural Marxism, this multiculturalism, it's part and parcel, of course, of cultural Marxism. It is a disastrously failed globalist public policy on display. And we see the caliphate. We see migration jihad ruining, destroying the Western civilization. And that's their goal, to upend Western civilization. And so what do we call people like this? That there's a word. Islam has a word for this. These apologists for Islam, these appeasers for Orthodox Islam, they're called dhimmis. It's spelled D-H-I-M-M-I. They're called dhimmis. And our American Democratic Party is full of them, sadly. And so I just, as I was viewing all of this stuff, tears welled up in my eyes. I came across that image that went kind of viral of a child who was sprawled lifeless on the streets there in Nice, covered by a bloody blanket, and she was flanked by her doll. And what a poignant, ghastly photograph that was. But I stared last night at the image and thought, you know, this is a ghastly metaphor for modern multiculturalism. It's suicidal. It's deadly. And I got angry and I was furious and I reflected on how Obama who is, no question about it, a raging anti-Semite. He hates the Jewish people. He hates the Jewish state. He is sympathetic to Islam. His father was a Muslim, and he of course was taught in a Muslim boarding school. And he said that the Muslim call to prayer was one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. Those are Obama's words. And I read that again, and I felt disgust for this man. As a Christian, I need to feel love for him, because he is an enemy in terms of his anti-Christ worldview and his pro-Muslim worldview. And Islam is anti-Christ. It denies that Christ is who he said he was, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and just puts him alongside the raging maniac Muhammad as a prophet, but secondary to Muhammad, really. And the call to prayer, it asserts, among other things, I'll read it to you. It says, Allah is supreme, Allah is supreme, Allah is supreme. It says four times. It says, I witness that there is no God but Allah. I witness that there is no God but Allah. I witness that Muhammad is his prophet. And that's what Obama thinks is one of the most beautiful sounds that you'll ever hear on earth at sunset. And Obama also said this, and getting back into the aspect of political correctness, where I say, yes, it's a barrier to truth. It must block the truth. Political correctness, we cannot abide truth, because it is steeped in moral relativism. But that aspect of it being a pathway to tyranny, Obama, when he stood before the United Nations General Assembly, which is, again, one of the most anti-Semitic political bodies politique in the across the entire globe, he said, the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. Now, certainly the dead of Nice, France, they have no future at all. So I guess it doesn't belong to them, right? And the question is, are we going to have a future? And we know that the secular left, that their sympathies, if not their loyalties, lie with Islam and lie against our Christian Western civilization. And so we need to understand that this is systemic, that this thirst within Islam for control, for a caliphate, for Sharia law across the globe, that it is steeped, Islam is steeped in this lust for power and control, and in fact Islam means, effectively, it means control, it means submission. And you consider, for instance, that according to a 2015 Center for Security Policy poll, 51% of American Muslims desire, this is American Muslims, over half of them desire that Islamic Sharia law be made the law of the land. And nearly 30% of them say that violence is appropriate against Americans who, quote, insult Islam or its so-called prophet, Muhammad. And both Islam and the Quran, among many other such atrocities, they explicitly require this worldwide caliphate, which is global domination, and the violent imposition of Islamic Sharia law. They require this. So the both Islam and the Quran, the teachings of Muhammad, and it treats, again, women as chattel, stones them to death. If they are raped, then they are stoned to death for adultery. If they're not properly attired, and even in the most civilized so-called Islamic nations, such as Saudi Arabia and Iran, Islam, as a matter of course, as a matter of law, they execute practitioners of homosexuality. And so it is so incongruous that the cultural Marxist left would ally itself with Islam, yet they do, because they are blinded by their own political correctness. They are blinded by their lust for power, and they have a shared enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, they say. The common enemy, truth, who is Christ. Christianity, total truth. Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. We'll pick up on the flip side of the break. Don't go away.
Parents are rising up with a sex ed sit-out. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. This Monday, parents are pulling their children out of public schools for the day. It is called the Sex Ed Sit-Out to protest the over-sexualization of children as young as 5 without their parents' knowledge. Planned Parenthood and the Human Rights Campaign and others are providing public school curricula that teaches students dangerous, promiscuous sexual behaviors. Activities like how to shop for condoms, visit an abortion clinic, and various other graphic sexual acts are part of this curriculum. And pornographic pictures are also included. The curriculum has children filling out a form about Planned Parenthood and quizzes them on bus routes to get to a clinic so their parents won't know. Even the Centers for Disease Control says that the behaviors being encouraged by this curriculum present a significant health risk. We must protect our children. Join the sit-out on Monday and stay informed at lc.org.
The American Family Association invites you to a very special gathering of AFA friends from across America this fall at the Big Cedar Lodge in the Ozarks. The AFA retreat will be a relaxing time of fellowship and inspiration. Speakers include Sandy Rios, Dr. Ray Pritchard, Todd Starnes, Abraham Hamilton III, and Ed Battagliano, and Dennis Jernigan will lead us in worship. Experience all of this in a beautiful setting that dates back to the 1920s, built originally to be a wilderness retreat for a prominent Missouri family. We hope you'll join us October 8th through the 11th at the rustic Big Cedar Lodge just south of Branson on Table Rock Lake. It promises to be a refreshing time of worship, teaching, fellowship, and fun. To register or for more information, visit afafoundation.net. Seating is limited, so register today. Hope to see you there.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio.
You wish you could stop thinking about it, but you can't. It never quite leaves your thoughts. Even in the joyful moments, it's there. The sadness, shame, and sorrow. You know you can't go on like this, so don't. Phone the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery at 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who's already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
And we're back. Thanks for listening in, folks. Matt Barber again in for Abe Hamilton today, co-founder and general counsel of Christian Civil Rights Watch. Please do visit our website, truecivilrights.org, truecivilrights.org. Talking about the global scourge that is Orthodox Islam and the threat that it poses to Western civilization. And I kind of teased out yesterday, we were hitting on the same topic, and I kind of teased out that I would be addressing today more of a kind of a spiritual side of things, and wanted to point out that the eternal truth that, and this is a fact, every single Muslim on earth who ever lived or who ever will live or who is alive will bow before Jesus. They will bow before God incarnate. And I want to be here clear here that my goal is not to offend people. It's not to be offensive. But I know people are offended by truth. People are offended by Christ, by the fact that he is both exclusive and inclusive, but that he is the exclusive way to God the Father. And my goal, likewise, is not to try to persuade people. These are matters of the Spirit, and in matters of the Spirit, there is but one who is capable of opening the eyes of the heart, and we know who that is. And so my objective, rather, is to simply sow seeds of truth, to speak truth. And as I often say, truth is hate to those who hate truth. But I speak these truths in love. I have love for every Muslim on earth. as we are told to, and it is our prayer as Christians that they come to the saving knowledge and grace of Christ Jesus, who is the exclusive path to God the Father, right? And so I'm trying to sow seeds of truth here so that the Holy Spirit, who does have the power to persuade and change the heart, that according to his perfect pleasure, according to his perfect purpose and his will, that he would cultivate in the soul of Muslims, maybe Muslims listening in right now, that he would cultivate the soul as he deems just and as he sees fit. And we know that Christ has appeared to in visions and dreams millions of Muslims around the world, and that they are having conversion experiences and coming to know Christ even in the absence of missionaries and Christians. And we Christ followers, again, are admonished to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, right? Think of Matthew 5:44, and this obliges us as Christians to at once love and to pray for, among the many Antichrist subsets that are out there, and you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, you know, pick your ism, that among these Antichrist subsets, that we are to pray for and to love the 1.2 billion Muslims worldwide, including the hundreds of millions who faithfully embrace Muhammad's many, many commands to wage violence against the Christian, against the Jew, and against all other non-Muslims, or indeed those who they view as moderate Muslims who do not properly, in their view, practice Islam and do not obey and keep the dictates of the Prophet Muhammad, the very violent pedophile who married a six-year-old girl, consummated the marriage at 9. Even the Quran acknowledges this, even the Hadith. So it's impossible for us to pray for and to love people that want to cut our heads off, right? Like you think of the Coptic Christians in Egypt on display on the beach there as they were being beheaded. They were praying for those who were beheading them. They were calling on the name of the Lord Jesus as they were having their heads sawed off with knives. And it's impossible to do that in our flesh, right? It can only, that kind of love and praying for your enemy who wants to cut your head off, it can only be accomplished through the supernatural grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's indeed, again, our great hope and prayer that every Muslim, every human being on earth, that they might surrender self, that they might come to the saving knowledge and grace of Christ, that they would stop worshiping self, which is what atheism is, self-worship, right? It's the man, as Francis Schaeffer famously said, that man is the measure of all things rather than God being the measure of all things. And so we want the Muslim to come to the knowledge and the saving grace of Christ Jesus, who alone, as he said, John 14:6, is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one, not a soul on earth, comes to the Father except through him. And he talks about, if you deny me on this earth, I will deny you before the Father, he says. It is a bad business to embrace Allah, the false god Allah, and to reject the one true God. And so, to be sure, again, it is also the express desire of both God the Father and Christ his Son, that each and every Muslim on earth, that they would abandon his broad path to perdition, that they would turn around and that they would move toward Christ's narrow path to eternal life. Remember 2 Peter 3:9, he said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And that means every Muslim on earth, up to and including the Muslim terrorist who has designs on killing American citizens, European citizens, the citizens of various countries in Europe and in the Middle East, and the Jewish people. And so God, we mustn't forget here that God both created and he loves in a way that is, it's really incomprehensible to us, to our finite human mind. He loves every single human who was ever born or ever will be born or otherwise, those, you know, that are aborted before they're born. He wove us together, as he says, in our mother's wombs, and he numbered our every hair. Can you imagine that? Every hair numbered. This is the omnipotent God that created this vast universe. And yet, God the Father, he has but one begotten Son. And so the rest of us, as I have said many a time, and this is what really sticks in the craw of the postmodern secularist left, the fact that the rest of us, we are not all children of God. The rest of us, in order to become God's children, we must be adopted and grafted into the vine in and through the one who is the Son, he who is the vine, and that's Christ Jesus. And you can reference John 15:5 to read more about that. But so those who are not adopted by God are not children of God. Okay, this isn't me saying this. This isn't my words. This is the word of God. And so the logic, you know, we Christians, we deal in facts and in reason and logic. God gave us faculties of reason and logic to use, and he also gave us supernaturally the truth. The Holy Spirit in us speaks truth, and Scripture says truth is foolishness to those who are perishing. They cannot understand it because it is spiritually discerned, right? And so we need to be clear here. The Muslim is not a child of God. They deny Christ, who says he is the only way to the Father. So they are not adopted. They are not grafted into the vine. They are not children of God. And to become a child of God, we must ask God through Christ to adopt us. All we have to do is ask. We can't just believing on him. You know, Muslims believe, they even in their own, you know, writings and their own so-called holy book, Christ is acknowledged throughout. Jesus is acknowledged throughout. They believe him in him. They believe he was a historical figure that walked on earth. They believe he was a prophet. But, you know, what Scripture says, big deal. Even the demons believe that, right? James 2:19. But rather, what we have to do and what every Muslim has to do is they have to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's very simple. It's the gospel message. It's exclusive. He is the most inclusive, yet the most exclusive human being who ever walked the earth. We must follow Jesus, who is the one true God, as our only God, right? So as John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him, Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see that it's a two-part deal here, okay? To all who believed him and accepted him, okay, you have to believe upon Christ, accept him as Lord and Savior, then he, and only he, who has the power to graft you into the vine, to adopt you, God, for God the Father to adopt you, then he gave us the right to become children of God. So this pluralist notion that we hear that, oh, there are many paths to God, this Unitarian, this universalist, pluralist, multiculturalist notion that there are many paths to God, it's an insidious lie that is spread by the father of lies himself. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Matthew 7:13. So Jesus is the narrow gate, and Webster's dictionary, it defines pluralism as, quote, a theory that there are more than one or more than two kinds of ultimate reality. Well, that's pluralism. It's also relativism, right? Moral relativism. There are no truths, except, of course, there are no absolute truths, except for the absolute truth that there is no truth, which is a complete circular argument here. And pluralism is a circular argument. And the aim of this insidious pluralist philosophy is to muddy the waters. It's to divert mankind from that narrow gate that leads us to eternal salvation, Jesus. And at the same time, kind of pluralism wants to herd us along that broad road right to eternal damnation. And anything and everything, folks, that denies the singular and exclusive deity of Jesus Christ, or that rejects the certainty that he alone can save us from hell, That is the broad road to damnation. That leads you down the broad road to death. And so pluralism, it's a non-starter. It's an inherently self-contradictory. It's, of course, adopted by the progressive left, and it's also self-defeating. Each of the world's major religions fundamentally contradicts the other, right? They can't all be true. So it's very simple. Either one is true or none is true. That's logic. That's just a fact. They can't all be true. Oh, there are little bits of truth here and there in all religions, you hear people say. Well, no. When Christ claims that he is the exclusive path to God the Father, that's a zero-sum game, folks. So pick your ism again, whether it's Mohammedism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, humanism, atheism, on and on it goes. Pluralism, the self-contradictory reality inherent to pluralism, it undoes each of these false religions. Within each of these isms, you find the leavening, right? Too much leaven spoils the bread. You find the leavening lie that is pluralism. And so, again, as I have often said, Christ Jesus, he is both tolerant and intolerant. He is utterly exclusive. He is wholly inclusive. And Romans 10:13 promises, again, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And John 3:36 kind of gives you the caveat associated with that. It says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So ask yourself the question, do faithful Muslims, Orthodox Muslims, do Muslims, even moderate Muslims, do they believe in the Son, in Christ Jesus, and believe that he is who he said he was? If they don't believe that he is the Son of God and that he is the exclusive path to salvation, they have rejected him. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains upon him. Muslims reject Jesus. They reject the Son. Therefore, they, quote, will not see life, for God's wrath remains upon them. We want the Muslim to know Christ, to come to know Christ. So I want to open up the phone lines. Love to have you guys weigh in. This is, again, a heavy topic today, but it was on my heart that I need to share these truths. And hopefully, if just one Muslim is listening out there, that they will take this to heart. They will listen and then just even ask the question, Jesus, are you real? Are you really who you said you are? Let me know. Reveal yourself to me. Just that little prayer. Just try it, folks. So taking your calls after the break for the last segment here, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to hear your thoughts, folks, because we have got to reach out to the Muslim. Not only do they reject that Christ is the Son of God, but again, those who are faithful to the teachings of their prophet Muhammad, they persecute under both flame and sword his very body. That's the body of Christ. They persecute Christ. You remember, Saul knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus. Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Who was he persecuting? He was persecuting the body of Christ. That is the Christian faithful. And so, as I've said before, Islam is Christianity's photonegative, right? While Christianity brings eternal life to those who choose to surrender to Jesus, who is, as he declared no uncertain terms, is the way, the truth, and the life, Islam brings eternal death to those who surrender to Allah, who, as Muhammad himself declared, is, quote, the best of deceivers, in the Quran, Surah 354. And Allah was deceptive, for Allah is the best of deceivers. And it's worthy to point out here again to mention that Revelation 12:9 in the Bible says of who? Satan, that he deceives the whole world. Who is the best of deceivers according to the Bible? Satan himself. Who is it according to the Quran? It is Allah. Again, taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And let's be in prayer, okay? Let's be in prayer for the Muslim. Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton. You're listening to the Hamilton Corner. Please don't go away.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Hi, I'm David Barton, founder of Wall Builders.
And I'm Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders. And we want to let you know about an opportunity this summer for 18 to 25-year-olds to come be a part of what we're calling the Leadership Training Program. Actually, the website is wallbuilders.com/leadership training if you want to see more information. But really what we're doing is trying to help young people combat a lot of the nonsense they're learning in academia, things that are anti-American or anti-the Bible. And so we actually dig into the Bible, we dig into American history and the Constitution and education, and try to give a really good inoculation against some of the things that they're hearing in academics.
Yeah, Tim, you're exactly right. This is such an excellent opportunity to have the apologetics of the things that they'll face in academia and the culture. So if you're from 18 to 25 years old and you want training in this, and by the way, you get to actually hold the handwritten documents of George Washington and John Adams and other aspects of American history, this is a great opportunity this summer. 2 weeks, go to wallbuilders.com/leadership training. Hope to see you this summer.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Wilson Johnson is a beloved figure at North Oldham Middle School. That's in Goshen, Kentucky. Mr. Johnson is the custodian. He's also a coach, busy man, but he always makes time to say hello to the students. Many consider him to be a friend. One day, Mr. Johnson showed up to school wearing a surgical mask. Doctors found cancer in his tonsils, 3 rounds of chemo, but he still managed to put in a hard day's work. And that really made an impression on the students, especially 8th grader Leah Sanders. Leah started a GoFundMe page for Mr. Wilson, telling television station WHAS she wanted to take away some of his financial worry. By last count, Leah and her classmates had raised nearly $20,000 for Mr. Wilson, and he was deeply touched by their generosity. For years, he's been taking care of those middle school kids, but now they're taking care of him. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back, folks. Matt Barber in again for Abe Hamilton today, talking about the very offensive to the left and to truth deniers, the very offensive truth that every Muslim will bow before Jesus, that every human being will bow before Jesus, every atheist will bow a knee before Christ Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is a reality. Taking your calls again at 888-589-8840. Mentioned right before the break that Muhammad calls Allah, right, the best of deceivers. Remember, and Allah was deceptive, for Allah is the best of deceivers. It's Surah 354. And as I mentioned, the Bible, it calls Satan a deceiver. Revelation 12:9 explains that he, quote, deceives the whole world. And so even though it is often claimed inaccurately, and a glaring inaccuracy it is, it's often claimed that Muslims, that Christians, that Jews, that we all worship the same God. This is so very, very much not the case. Allah is not God. I want to say that again. Allah is not God. Allah is, as even Muhammad acknowledged, Allah is the deceiver. And so insofar as Christianity, and I mean, I'm talking about true Christianity, as it spreads peace and love and truth, Islam, and that's true Islam, Orthodox Islam, it spreads violence, hate, and deception. You see why I call Islam Christianity's photo negative? So Allah definitely, He exists. There's no question about it. He's just not God. Allah was created by God, right? And as though he wanted to, quote, ascend above the tops of the clouds and make himself like the Most High, Isaiah 14:14 says, Allah most assuredly is not God. He is fallen. Allah is the deceiver of the world, the father of lies, and the fallen angel, Satan himself. And so the best of deceivers, he doesn't care whether we worship the idol of self, right, as the secular progressives do, the deceiver himself, as do the Muslims, they worship this false god. That's what the deceiver wants. And so the deceptive one, he only cares that we deny God the Father. He doesn't care if you worship, some new age wacky religion. He doesn't care if you're a Hindu, Buddhist, as long as you deny God the Father, Christ his Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are, of course, three in one. As long as you deny Christ, the deceiver, the best of deceivers, as Muhammad called him, is all too happy. Again, taking your calls, 888-589-8840. We're going to go to the phone lines. Marty in Iowa. Marty, how are you, sir? Welcome to the Hamilton Corner.
I'm really good, Matt. Thank you. And you are dead on. It was so refreshing to hear. There is no love unless there's truth in it. And there is no truth unless it's bathed in love. And Matt, everything you just said today and yesterday has been dead on. And some of the things that are so frustrating, you know, our canon of the scripture was completed somewhere in AD 90. And this Islamic silliness came on sometime in 570, 580, right in that area.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's so
and it's
ridiculous.
A cheap knockoff. It Muhammad plagiarized and twisted the Bible, the Torah, right, the Old and New Testaments. He plagiarized and twisted them in order to come up with the, you know, the incoherent blatherings that are scribbled down in that document called the Quran. But go ahead, Marty.
Exactly, and in Second Timothy 3:16-17, it says all Scripture is God breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
And
yes.
And we in America have seemed to just forgotten that. And like you say, I love the Islamic people to the point when you hear of one dying on the radio over on the other side of the world, your heart just breaks because they are
absolutely
at that second meeting Jesus Christ face
and
to face.
And at that second, and Marty, great points and salient and clear and well-articulated points. They are at that point when they die. They have I can't imagine the horrific realization that at that moment that they have lived their entire life on earth under deceit. That they have been laboring under twisted mind games of the lion who prowls, right? Of the enemy who prowls like a lion, seeking to devour them. And at that point, they have been devoured. And our heart breaks for them. And Jesus wants no one to perish. And so he wants to give everyone the opportunity. And it is our responsibility to share the good news of the gospel. Going now to Pete in South Carolina. Pete, how are you, sir?
Hey, very well, Matt, and great show. One of the best. Truth and love, love and truth. And just to recap really quickly, yesterday, the day before, on Sandy Rios in the morning, she had a guy named John Guendo on, who has an organization called Understanding the Threat. Very informative. And then today, I was listening to Brian Fisher, and a lady called in about mentioning a bill that Ted Cruz had sponsored that would have designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And it was a little unclear. She didn't quite have what that was about. So I called Ted Cruz's office in D.C., and I asked about that bill, and it was in 2015, Bill S-2230, and it had very little support from the Republicans, very little.
Yeah, Well, they don't want to be accused of being Islamophobes, and I think it was reintroduced, I believe, in the 115th Congress, if I'm not mistaken, S-68, and in 2017, 2018, and it would declare, as you point out, Pete, the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, which indeed it is. Their own writings, remember, as we talked about yesterday, call for the destruction of Western civilization from within. Go ahead.
Let me just make one point. So I called my two senators, Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham, and the two young ladies at Lindsey Graham's office took me a pass. They said, no, that's hate speech, what I was saying. It's hate speech. And then she said, it's racial discrimination. I said, Islam is not a race. And they said, what I'm saying is hate speech. That she, the girl said she'd read the Quran. I'm not going to name them. But, you know, and I said, the Quran is evil. And she said, no, that's hate speech. That's Lindsey Graham, Senator.
Should we be surprised, though? We're talking about Lindsey Graham here. Thanks for the call, Pete. And of course, they call it hate speech. That's the catch-all. When they don't like the truth, remember, again, truth is hate to those who hate truth. And so they will call the truth hate speech. And I'm not surprised Lindsey Graham's office is as squishy as that feller is. I'm not surprised that this would not get support, that this bill would not get support. It's a very important bill, indeed. So, again, taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I am Matt Barber in for Abe Hamilton today. Going to move on now to Cindy in Mississippi.
Hey.
Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you are doing an awesome fill-in job. I just wanted you to know that.
Well,
but I have a question about something that was said yesterday. I tried to get on. You had just read this plot that has been discovered of someone's house that was raided or materials that were gathered together. But this ultimate plot that's going on, like the whole scheme that Islam has against America. I have a theory. I live in a little town in Mississippi, and every gas station within a 30-mile radius of where I live has been bought up by Muslims. And it's happening across the country, hotels and gas stations. Is there a master plot that we're just overlooking here, something that's going on? Because I have a friend that owns a gas station, and he is being hounded by a Muslim from Yemen to buy his gas station. And he said, I don't even really make much money here. It's not a money maker, so that is not the reason. So what is the plot?
Well, you know, and thanks for the call, Cindy. I don't know, as a lawyer and as a former police officer, I try not to loosely speculate. There's such a thing as circumstantial evidence. We can look and, you know, it could very well just be that is, you know, I mean, we see a lot of Islamic taxi cab drivers as well. You know, I mean, I think that there, it may just be kind of a niche where they, you know, it's in the family, their family members have done it, their cousins, other people who came over, and that they just kind of follow that route. Now clearly the Muslim Brotherhood, it supports the Islamic State. They say in their own writings, they want an Islamic State, an Islamic caliphate. And part of their stratagem, part of their many tiered stratagem, various levels of jihad, is the infiltration, is migration jihad. We see it happening alive and well in Europe, throughout Europe. It is destroying Germany and France and Great Britain and is converting effectively. They're demanding now. They have enough strength in numbers that they are now demanding the imposition of Sharia law in those Western nations. And that's a very frightening thing indeed, especially when you have suicidal, politically correct, progressive legislators, you know, in Parliament out there and elsewhere, people saying, well, yeah, hey, why not? Let's set up these. And they've called for it here in the United States to set up Sharia courts in Dearborn, Michigan and elsewhere, where Muslims can then engage their counter constitutional practices. Let's make it clear here again, abundantly clear. Sharia law is anathema to our constitutional republican form of government. They cannot occupy the same time and the same space. They cannot coexist in harmony. And that gets a lot of people in trouble. I think it was Ben Carson who made mention of that and was basically called an Islamophobe and a bigot and so forth. So going now to Jacob in Mobile, Alabama. Jacob, how are you, sir?
How you doing, sir?
I am doing well, doing well. Heavy topic today, but I think it's one we need to have, a discussion we need to have, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. But I think what sometimes we miss certain things. We miss the Bible because, remember, in Revelations, he says, all nations will be around my throne. America, to most people, Muslims, Mexicans, or any other kind of people coming, East Indian people, this is the promised land, just like in the Bible with the children of Israel. They see it like that, and a lot of them don't read the holy books. They don't discern it. They're just like a lot of Christians don't read the Bible. They don't understand certain things, so they're in complete darkness. They don't understand, and the Lord is allowing it just like he did when Stephen got stoned. He's trying to get us to really stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ when these people come here so that he can use us to convert them. Because
Absolutely.
Even some of the women dress, you know,
Absolutely.
A lot of our women in the body of Christ need to dress better. They need to cover themselves.
Modesty.
My
grandmother used to say, you know, modesty is golden, right? I mean, and modesty, no doubt, is lacking in our nation. But then again, you know, you see the videos of Islamists in Europe and elsewhere, and even right here in the United States, you know, walking up and beating women because in their mind, these women are immodestly dressed, and so they can beat them like chattel. And so we need to be clear here again. That Christianity, it is.
We do it with love.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we do it with love. That's right,
love.
And that's the point.
They don't use love. They're back in the Old Testament, way back in the Old Testament, still, because that's where they are. They're serving the devil.
That's right. Yep. All right, Jacob. Thanks for the call. Yeah, and Jacob, you made a great point that I want to elaborate on a little bit. You said that we want to convert them. Of course we do. You know, if somebody, as I've often said, is running headlong toward cliff's edge, you know, you yell stop, right? And everyone who denies Christ is running headlong toward cliff's edge. They are running toward eternal death. And so to the Muslim, to everyone, You have to know this and listen to me now. Hear me now, please. Again, this may be offensive, and my goal is not to offend you, but do know this, because this is truth. You may deny Christ until the day you die. But as we were talking about with one of the callers there, our heart breaks for those Muslims who die. Now, we don't know. Did Christ reveal himself to them in their last breath? I don't know. I hope so. I pray. I agree with God. I don't want people to perish. We don't want a single Muslim to perish, right? So you may deny Christ until the day you die, but immediately after, soon after, you will deny him no more. To the Muslim, I say this, you will bow before Christ. You will deny him no more. You may still hate him, but you're not going to deny him. Philippians 2:10 through 11 assures us that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, every Muslim will bow before Jesus. This has been Matt Barber in again today for Abe Hamilton. Will be joining you again tomorrow. Abe will be back in the driver's seat on Monday. God bless you. Keep your head up and your powder dry, folks. Keep fighting the good fight for biblical truth. Because if we as Christians don't do it, I'll ask again, then who will? God bless. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.